taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem." This is God's word. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus teaching in parables and then also explaining them to his disciples. Jesus said the crowds were taught without that explanation. They were taught only in parables so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. This morning we hear a whole crowd of pilgrims bustling along their way to Jerusalem for the Passover. Jesus and the 12 are among them. In fact, Luke's gospel has spent the last 9 chapters chronicling Jesus' final journey from Galilee in the north to his rejection and death in the capital city at the feast. Jesus takes aside the 12 and says, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything written about the Son of Man by the prophets of old will be accomplished." And then Jesus, for the third time, vividly goes into recounting what will transpire before it takes place. "For the Son of Man will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked, shamefully treated, spit upon, and after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." It's as if he's a blind man. Doesn't he see all these things that are happening to him? Doesn't he see what's being done to him? In fact, he was blindfolded and mocked. That was just one of the many ways he was mistreated. As if he was a blind man. It makes a person wince when the evangelist recounts the reaction, maybe better the non-reaction, of the disciples when he says, "They understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said." With these words, Luke uses 3 different ways of saying that their faith was, maybe we could say, not perfect. It was very partial. It was being formed and shaped. Even though they had Jesus right in front of them, and he had just put the center of his mission right before them, they did not understand. These things were hidden from them, and they did not grasp what he said. What about your faith today? We have all that Jesus said, based on the prophets, completely accomplished. We have all that Jesus said and did for our salvation, written down the New Testament. And this very writing down is itself also for our salvation. Sometimes we can only see the great things of God that he has done for us by seeing the great things that he has done and does for others around us. So we see the young child confessing the small catechism, not merely reciting it. I mean, that's very important, and as a pastor, I love to hear that. But we hear this young child confessing, "God has made me and all creatures." That's something beautiful. "Jesus, true God and true man, is my Lord who has redeemed me." Or, "The Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel." We see the broken sinner acknowledging that all they have is God's mercy, and they cling to it for dear life. We see the Christian parent whose children have wandered very far away from the faith, but that parent doesn't wander. They keep holding fast. They keep singing and praising God. They keep confessing him to their children, even if they face a little bit of mocking. We see the person for whom life is a constant struggle, rejoicing in the Lord always, even when unloading their burden onto God's grace or into the ears of a fellow believer. See how the 12 have God's grace in the words of Jesus as he predicts his passion, his death, and resurrection, yet they are unable to and are kept from understanding. See also how the 12 have God's grace in Jesus' interaction with the blind man, which once all the other people see it too, causes them all to give praise to God. This blind beggar is the definition, the epitome of faith. He knows his need. He knows it very well, better than anyone else. He knows what it means to be blind. And he knows the only one who can save him. Literally the only one who can do this. And that blind beggar's faith is tenacious. You know, he asks these questions. He keeps inquiring, what's going on? What's the commotion? And then when rebuked for crying out to the Son of David, he keeps going, does it again, even more loudly. And upon receiving his sight, look what he does. He receives the goal of that miracle, which is more than just simply being able to see the things around him. He gets to see Jesus. And not just see him, but follow him. Follow in his footsteps toward Jerusalem, Holy Week, and Easter. The blind beggar is definitely not a mute beggar. He is definitely not a silent believer, like probably you and I are oftentimes. Rather, he believes constantly with his heart and confesses repeatedly with his mouth, Jesus, you are the Son of David. Jesus, have mercy on me. No longer is the blind beggar at the side of the road. He is standing right in front of Jesus. And even if you are sidelined in all the other areas of your life, economically, with friends, because of your faith in Christ, even if you are pushed to the side, you have a place with God through faith in Christ. Indeed, we have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind beggar says, Lord, let me recover my sight. See, we are going into Lent. We grasp that the Lord sees. Yes, he sees. He sees everyone and everything about our life from beginning to end. Thoughts, words, deeds, the things we've done, the things we've left undone, our failure of love for him, our failure of love for our neighbor. The Lord sees, not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God, the Lord, looks on the heart, which means he sees faith and what faith holds on to. We will take up Lenten disciplines over the coming 40 days, other fine outward training, like fasting or giving up something for Lent, almsgiving, or adding something, giving mercy gifts to those in need around us. That sounds like love to me, Christian love. Or increased catechesis and attention to the Word of God and increased prayer. Over these coming 40 days, we will fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. There's perfection found all in him. There's mercy from God in his suffering, in his bleeding, dying, death, and resurrection. Having had the eyes of our faith enlightened, that's baptismal talk, we pray just like the psalmist from our intro today, make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Or more simply and briefly, Lord, have mercy. That was the blind beggar's cry. That is faith's prayer. It is our native speech, Lord, have mercy. These words are placed on our lips in the liturgy from beginning to end. These words are part of our prayers. They're part of the litany from the beginning of that great prayer and at its conclusion. These words are what your mouth is saying when you're kneeling here and you open your mouth, even without a sound coming out, these are the words a Christian communicant says, Lord, have mercy, as then his body is placed in that mouth and his blood is poured into that mouth, Christ giving all that he has to give. Outward training is certainly fine and good. We'll be picking up some of these things in Lent, the coming 40 days. And we see it in our gospel reading. The whole crowd was on the move, heading to Jerusalem. That's an annual reality. Maybe people went just because that's tradition. That's what we do this time of year. My family is going. All these different reasons. Who knows? They're going for the Passover. That's the key. But in the midst of that annual commotion and movement, Jesus is on his unique way. It is the way of mercy. He is on that unique way of mercy into his passion, into his death, into his resurrection, and into the means of grace, which are yours today. On his way, he gave sight to the blind, fulfilling that cry for mercy, granting the blind beggar's request, and commending his faith. Faith is that inner sanctum. It is the place for the beloved and for him alone. It is the king's throne on which the one who rules over you in body and soul, now and forever, that's where he dwells. So that your heart, by that faith he gives, is now confident, alive, seeing, hearing, knowing, and trusting in Christ alone. See, we are going into Lent, but even more importantly, see, we must go down into repentance. The Lord has said through the prophet Isaiah, I will lead the blind in a way they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. I will lead the blind in a way they do not know. Just as a blind man does not know the way of sight, the surroundings that have been there all the time, but upon recovering his sight, he walks behind and at the side of the one who's given this gift to him, so too must we, who don't have the way of repentance and faith as our native life, be led into that way, be given that gift from above, and follow our Savior there. Indeed, I hope you're listening. We must become blind to the world's way of thinking and living, which is centered on self and does not know the way of sacrifice, the way of love. We must become blind to our desire for so many things, anything and everything beyond and beside mercy. Mercy alone. We need to become blind to our seeking help and love in anyone other than the Son of David, our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we must go down into repentance, because that is where the one who went up to Jerusalem, who went up to his cross, who went down into death in the grave, who now risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, that is where he meets us and leads us, repentance and faith, in that lowly and secret place. There in repentance, where the crucified and risen Jesus meets us, Christ causes mercy to be spoken and given, and the new creation to begin. He causes light to shine from his face in the absolution. He opens your ears, your eyes, your mind, your heart, your lips, your life, your future, your faith. See, we are going into Lent, and we must go down into repentance and live through faith alone. So which way will you go? I know the way Jesus went, and the blind beggar, given his sight recovering, having that sight recovered, follow Jesus on that one way. And that's where faith is always found walking. We walk not by sight, but by faith. Faith is that assurance of a holy and certain hope, the assurance of things hoped for, the certainty of what is not yet seen, but what has been promised by God in his word, delivered to you in your baptism. I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. These are the things that I do. I will not forsake them. God be with us as a congregation in these coming 40 days. Amen.